This is Audible.
Black Obsidian. Written by Victoria Quinn. Narrated by Michael Ferraiolo and Leah Langola. Chapter 1. I lifted the glass to my mouth and felt the ice cubes slide all the way down until they touched my lips. Like pieces of winter, they cooled my mouth just before the burn of the scotch hit my throat and seared me from the inside out. I lived for that burn. Jackson was supposed to meet me nearly 15 minutes ago, but that piece of shit hadn't shown his face. A hot little number probably got his attention along the way, and, like always, he got sidetracked. Couldn't blame him. The black ring on my right hand felt heavy with commitment. It was the only piece of jewelry I wore, other than my watch, and it took some getting used to. To everyone else, it was just a ring. It had no meaning and no voice. But in my world, its significance was quite clear. Anytime I was out in the regular world, I wondered if anyone recognized me for what I really was. A dark and twisted asshole. The shit I was into turned most women away. The ones who were brave enough to stick around always changed their minds. My tastes were specific, and they would never change, which was why I needed to stick to my world and not bother with the real one. If this really was the real one. The door to the bar opened, accompanied by an ice-cold breeze. I felt it on the back of my neck, caressing the nearly invisible strands of hair that poked out underneath my collar. The black suit and tie was one of my favorites, fit to a T. I had work that evening, and I always fit the part. For whatever reason, and for no reason at all, I turned my attention to the open door. Two women walked inside, one blonde and one brunette. Both petite in stature and pretty in their unique ways. They turned heads as they entered. My eyes went to the brunette. I had a thing for brunettes. Always had, and always would. She wore a black pencil skirt that was snug on her womanly hips. Curves that made my throat turn dry caught my attention, and I immediately fantasized about gripping her thighs, then slowly raising my hands up her skirt, pulling the fabric along until her panties were exposed to my mercy or cruelty. It took a lot to impress me when it came to women, and not because I was picky or superficial, but because I received enough satisfaction every day and every night to dim my desire. My fantasies were a reality, and I had no interest in looking for a woman who couldn't fulfill them. But she caught my eye anyway. She had an hourglass figure, perfect for guiding up and down my length with my hands on her hips. Perky tits were pressed tightly against her pink blouse, and she had a slender neck with a pronounced hollow in her throat. Perfect for my tongue to explore. She wore 5-inch heels and rocked them like they were sandals, and thin and toned legs were obvious below the cut of her skirt. They nearly reached her neck because they were so long. Every woman had specific traits that made them sexy. Sometimes they had a nice rack or ass. Sometimes they had a slender waistline that I could wrap my arms around twice. Sometimes they had legs like hers. The kind I pictured around my waist. But this woman had them all. My eyes didn't lose their focus as I watched her like a hawk, my mind obsessed and my cock hard. When she passed through the crowd, she parted the way with her natural power. She commanded the room as she held her head high with the elegance of a queen. But her smile was innocent, like that of a princess. My legs wanted to move in her direction and stake a claim before someone else could make a move. I wanted to tell her my name and hear hers in return. She probably had the sexiest voice, classy, like the rest of her traits. But I couldn't. My hands were tied. I made a commitment to someone else. Our bond wasn't based on love, friendship, or anything else remotely meaningful. But when I gave someone my word, I kept it. If a man's word didn't count for anything, then he automatically lost his self-worth. That was a lesson my father taught me, and it was the only one I respected. So I turned away and glanced at my watch. Where was he? A woman's voice sounded behind me, and judging by its beauty and power, it could only belong to one person. Without turning around to make sure my assumption was correct, I knew it belonged to the woman who got me harder than steel.
That guy is such a fucking asshole. I can't believe he did that to you.
I smirked at the way she cursed. She meant every word and said it with a backbone, but her stature made it hard to take her seriously. She was simply too soft on the eyes to have a dirty mouth. Her friend sighed before she responded.
I know. I went home and cried, and I hated myself for doing it. He isn't worth my tears. He isn't worth anything. Damn straight.
I drank my scotch and concentrated on the sound of her voice. Her appearance got me hard, and her no-bullshit attitude got me harder. My attraction usually started with quiet women, the soft ones that were looking for someone to lead them. But her strength was oddly arousing. A man squeezed into the bar beside me and brushed my shoulder. When it wasn't Jackson, I gave him a terrifying glare. I hated being touched by anyone who didn't receive my explicit permission, no matter how innocent their intention was. He quickly scooted away, leaving an appropriate foot of space between us. He ordered a beer, a pussy drink. He wore a black suit that was poorly tailored and didn't hide the imperfections of his weak shoulders and laughable build. This guy had done nothing egregious to me, but I despised him for that innocent touch. The women's conversation continued.
Oh my God.
Her friend gasped quietly, but was unable to cover it, despite the constant chatter of the crowd.
What?
She kept her voice strong, rather than concerned. Again, she commanded the conversation with just her tone of voice. I'd never known a woman like that.
That's Dave.
Her friend dropped her voice low so no one could overhear them. I had to strain my ears and discreetly turn my head so I could pick up on what they were saying. Their conversation had nothing to do with me, and frankly, it wasn't that interesting. But I loved hearing that woman's voice.
I can't believe he's here. Probably picking up someone else while his wife is at home. Are you fucking serious?
She didn't bother keeping her voice down.
That two-timing shithead is here? At the bar.
Their conversation halted for nearly 10 seconds.
Where?
She demanded.
Which one? He's at the front in a black suit.
My eyes discreetly glanced to the man beside me, knowing he must be the man they were discussing. A wedding ring was absent from his finger, and his eyes kept roaming down the bar to the women huddled near the end. He was definitely on the prowl tonight, no doubt about it. I actually felt bad for his wife, and I felt bad for whatever my obsession was about to do to him.
What are you doing?
Her friend asked.
I'm giving that motherfucker a piece of my mind.
I smirked, excited to see her in action. She would probably grab the guy by the shoulder and throw her drink in his face. Maybe I would get a waft of her smell. Maybe her delectable hip would press against mine.
No, don't.
The sound of heels clanked behind me, and I knew she was just a foot away from me. This guy was about to get his ass kicked by a woman half his size, and he deserved it. I would stick around for the show. Now I didn't even care that Jackson was nearly half an hour late.
Hey, asshole!
She grabbed me by the arm and yanked hard enough to get me to face her. Disturbed by the uninvited touch, I immediately faced her and looked down into her expression. Green eyes, fierce with fire, looked back at me, and her lips pressed so tightly together they were nearly invisible. Her cheeks were flushed with rage, and her long brown hair was pulled over one shoulder, extending past her tits. Her blouse had a V-neck in the front, and I could see the small freckles that I wasn't able to see before. Instead of telling her she had the wrong man, I stared at her in pure fascination. Up close, she was even more beautiful. Absolutely fuckable. She retracted her hand, and with lightning speed slapped me so hard across the face I actually turned with the force. My neck snapped to the right and my skin tingled from the collision of her palm against my face. Immediately, my skin burned from the heat of momentum, and the slap of our skin moving together echoed in the bar. My neighbors quieted down, watching the spectacle like a street fight as this woman charged me like a bull. I turned back to her, and while the rage slowly burned inside my chest, I felt something else. My entire body tensed with the undeniable arousal that coursed through my veins. She hit me, and she hit me hard. That hatred and ferocity got my engine revving like I was about to enter a drag race. My cock was harder than ever before, and I couldn't stop picturing her pinned underneath me as I fucked her until she screamed. She kept slapping me across the face as I pounded her into my mattress, losing the fight we both knew I would win. Fuck, I was hard up. Her eyes widened with hostility before that pretty little mouth of hers told me off.
You're absolutely despicable, and a sorry excuse for a man. You should be ashamed of yourself for cheating on your wife and for playing games with my friend. There's a special place in hell for assholes like you.
She pulled her hand back and slapped me again, putting her entire weight into the collision. Another slap echoed in the bar, ringing loud in my ears. Everyone around us gasped as she laid it on me good. My spine tingled as the surging desire washed through me like a goddamn tsunami. I wanted to throw her on the bar and fuck her right then and there. I wanted to pop all the buttons off her shirt and rip her panties in half before I shoved her skirt over her tits. In front of everyone in the bar, I would fuck her until I filled her with so much of my seed she wouldn't be able to walk without it dripping all over the floor. All I had to do was grab her wrist and steady her hand so she couldn't hit me again, but I didn't. All I had to do was tell her she had the wrong man, but I didn't do that either. I'd never felt more alive, more aroused than I did in that moment, and I never wanted her to stop hitting me.
Stop!
Her blonde friend came up behind her and grabbed her by the arm.
Not him!
She didn't listen to a word her friend said because she shoved me hard in the chest. Like a mountain, I didn't move. In fact, it made her body thrust backward instead.
Not such a tough guy after all, huh? How about I give your wife a call and tell her your dick has been around the block one too many times?
I stared at her mouth without really listening to her. When she was pissed, she was even sexier. Her cheeks flushed a beautiful hint of rose, and her eyes were greener than the vines on a hot summer day. I wanted her to stay exactly like this, hitting me like a punching bag until my cock couldn't stay in my trousers any longer. She slapped me again, hitting the exact same cheek for a third time in a row. Now I knew my face was beet red and scorching hot. I knew I would have a mark from her handprint for the next few hours until it faded away.
That's what happens to men who fuck with my best friend.
She pointed her finger in my face like it was somehow threatening.
You actually thought you were going to get away with it. It's not him.
Her friend screamed loud over the conversations of the bar, making everyone halt and look at her.
Stop hitting him.
She finally listened to her friend and looked at her, her face immediately slackening with trepidation.
What?
The man in the black suit was no longer next to me. The second he saw the commotion, he must have noticed his ex and hit the exit. Smart man. He wouldn't have enjoyed the beating my face had just taken. His loss.
I told you 15 times that you had the wrong guy. Dave already left after you slapped this guy the first time.
Her cheeks turned white, the pale rose color fading away immediately. Her green eyes lost their vibrancy, turning a dull gray that I didn't find nearly as attractive. Unable to look at me, she kept eye contact with her friend. Humiliation emitted from her in waves that washed over me like the freezing ocean. Self-loathing and hatred were there as well. She put her hands on her hips and took a few breaths before she finally turned back to me. Her eyes were on the floor, oddly similar to a submissive, before she took another breath and finally found the courage to meet my eyes.
God, I'm so sorry. I thought you were someone else. I'm so humiliated.
I examined her new expression, absorbing all the intricate features I didn't notice before. She had a freckle in the corner of her mouth, so small and slight I hardly noticed it. Like a distant star deep in space, it contrasted against her fair complexion. My tongue shifted in my mouth, desperate to taste that tiny freckle and explore everything else about her body. She had a petite little nose, slender and nicely shaped. It fit her beautiful face perfectly, like a renowned artist shaped her features until they were just right. Her eyes were large and bright, shaped like almonds. Her cheeks were prominent and curved, giving her a slender appearance that matched her perfect body. From my height, I could see her cleavage line, only I didn't look. When I didn't say anything, she gave me the same apologetic look, desperate for forgiveness.
I swear, I'm not normally like that. This guy hurt my friend, and I got carried away. I mistook you for him.
The only reason why I hadn't spoken was because I was stretching out the conversation as long as possible, so I could stare at her all I wanted. Her lips were plump and wet. When she was nervous, she sucked on her upper lip. She did it twice since our conversation began. I wanted to pull it into my mouth and do all the sucking for her. Honest mistake. I understand. Her eyes shifted back and forth as she stared at me.
I really am sorry.
Her eyes moved to my red cheek, and her hand moved slightly from her waist, like she wanted to touch it.
If there's anything I can do, please let me know.
She pulled her hand back to her side, refraining from raising her hand to me again. Her friend grabbed her by the wrist.
Let's just leave him alone. I think we've put him through enough.
She gently pulled her friend along. I was losing her, and I had no choice but to let her go. The ring on my right hand felt unnaturally heavy. But then suddenly, I didn't feel it at all. The weight evaporated into thin air like it had never been there to begin with. There is something you can do. She stopped and didn't allow her friend to pull her any farther.
Anything.
Tell me your name. I took a step toward her, not wanting to miss whatever she was about to say. I lived for that answer, needing to hear it in my ears and taste it on my tongue. When I beat off later that night, I wanted to know exactly who I was beating off to.
You want my name?
Her voice barely came out as a whisper.
That's all?
Yes. My eyes narrowed on her face, needing that answer more than anything else in the world. She faltered for an instant, unsure if she should give it to me because she didn't understand my motive. Maybe I wanted it so I could report her to the police and press charges. If that was the case, that was my right, and she had to cooperate. Her lips were parted before she spoke, and she finally gave her answer.
Rome Moretti.
Chapter 2. I walked into ruin and pushed through the throng of people as I made my way to the bar. Men in black leather held their submissives by leashes and chains. Most of them were on their knees on the floor, looking up at their masters with grotesque fascination. The music was amplified in the sub-club, booming loud with the bass and matching the dark tones of the black lights. One submissive made eyes at me, not having a master to obey. But the second her eyes landed on my black ring, she quickly turned her gaze away and pretended she hadn't seen me in the first place. I made it to the bar and saw Isabella there. The black ring was on her right hand, and she sipped a drink as she sat on the stool. Dressed in a tight black dress with her hair in a braid, she stood out among the other women in the crowd. Beautiful, dark, and sultry, she was the most remarkable woman in the place. None of the men stared at her because they knew she was off limits. Everyone respected that. When I reached her side, she immediately turned her brown eyes on me. They took me in with fascination, and like the obedient submissive she was, she quickly lowered her gaze and tilted her chin downward, bowing to me without bending her spine.
Master.
Come with me. I barked out my command and walked away without bothering to look behind me. I knew she was there, following me like the good submissive she was. I didn't need a leash for her because it was unnecessary. This woman had been trained well. With the snap of a finger, she did exactly as I commanded, and she did so without complaint. She was the best submissive I'd ever had. We walked to the opposite side of the building on the top floor and entered my office. The furniture was black, and the large window behind my desk was tinted so the outside world couldn't see within. They would never understand people like us. They would never understand our desires and our necessities. To them, we were just freaks, and I thought the same about them. My desk was carved from stained cherry wood, and the bookshelves on either wall were the same material. A lone lamp sat on the surface, and once I turned it on, we weren't blanketed in the shadows any longer. Isabella fell to her knees in front of my desk, taking the position she was expected to maintain whenever she was in my presence. Her braid trailed down the middle of her back, ready to be wrapped around my fist the instant I wanted her. I leaned against the desk and crossed my arms over my chest. I took a moment to look at her, to appreciate her last moments as my submissive. For the last year, I'd been her exclusive dom, making us one of the rare monogamous couples within our world. She pleased me exceptionally well, and she required no training. Perfect the way she was, she came into my life and gave me the satisfaction I craved. I never loved her, and told her I never would, and she accepted that at face value. Up. She rose to her feet, her slender frame uncoiling from the uncomfortable position on the floor. One time, she stayed that way for nearly 5 hours while I entertained guests over dinner. She didn't move an inch, not even to scratch her nose. Now she watched me with her big and bright brown eyes, waiting for a command she could fulfill. Her universe centered around me, the man she obeyed constantly. I pulled the black ring off my finger. It was snug before my joint, and I had to twist it until it came loose before I placed it on the desk beside me. A faint tan line marked the skin that had been covered for so long. Now it could finally breathe, finally see the sunshine. Her eyes widened when she saw my actions, knowing exactly what it meant. I'm no longer your dom, Isabella, and you're no longer my submissive. Our arrangement had an expiration date, and we both knew it from the beginning. Despite how long we lasted, we knew this day would come. Like the sun rising over the horizon, it was inevitable. In shock, she kept her same expression. To anyone outside of the two of us, they wouldn't have a clue what her thoughts were. Her emotions were hidden deep, like buried treasure beneath her permanent mask. I stepped toward her, then grabbed her right hand. I pulled the ring off her finger, feeling the snugness before it finally came off. The band was plain and black, matching mine, with the exception of its width. I placed it on top of my ring and made them a pair once more. You can speak freely. She was no longer mine to control, so she could do and say whatever she wanted. It wasn't the kind of freedom she wanted, but she had to accept it. Her eyes took in the rings before she returned her gaze to my face. Large, like the moon, each were glowing orbs that radiated mystical power. It was one of her features that attracted me to her in the first place. But now, they reflected her disappointment and her pain.
I don't understand.
I hoped she would take this separation as emotionless as I would. In the beginning, I made it clear what kind of man I was, and I would never change. She claimed she believed me, but perhaps she didn't. It's nothing you did, Isabella. You're just as perfect as you were when I first looked at you. But I've come to realize I want different things. Her hands found each other in front of her waist. And slowly, her fingers started to fidget. Her shoulders weren't as straight as they normally were, and the grace she once possessed had disappeared entirely. I wanted to command her to remain still, but I couldn't. I lost my privileges.
We were fine yesterday. This is just so sudden, I thought you wanted me.
This kind of desperation was pathetic, and annoyed me. But she'd been with me for a year, trusted me for an entire year, and I had to be patient with her. I owed her that much. I'm sorry if it's unexpected, but honestly, my decision is just as unexpected. I still think you're gorgeous, and every man downstairs will fight for you once they realize you're no longer mine. But I'm not going to change my mind. Her thumbs continued to rub together, anxiously, and deep in her eyes, tears started to form. Slowly, they coated the surface until they reflected my cold appearance. Don't. I had to stop it before it started. She took a deep breath to steady her resolve, but the second she left my office, she would sob in the bathroom. I didn't need to be psychic to figure that out.
Cal, is there someone else?
I knew this question would come up, but I didn't know how to answer it. I wasn't even sure what my answer would be. When Rome gave me her name, my balls tightened back into my body and I nearly came then and there. No woman had ever conquered my sexual desire the way she did. Those three slaps were better than any blowjob I'd ever received. Instead of being annoyed by her power, I craved it. I wanted to conquer her, and I wanted her to conquer me. Yes. She took another deep breath, her eyes watering all over again. I didn't touch her. Don't worry about that. Isabella was the only submissive I was monogamous with, and that was because I made a promise to remain faithful to her. I always kept my promises, no matter how much I wanted to break them. With our relationship, there was respect and friendship. I would never betray her, even though my cock was eager to be disloyal.
When did this happen?
Just the night before, but it felt like a lifetime ago. I had no understanding of what I was doing or why I was doing it. The second I laid eyes on Rome, my entire world changed. I wouldn't consider myself to be happy, but I was certainly content. But the second she slapped me, I felt distraught over what I didn't have. Her.
Last night? Oh.
She rubbed her hands together, her fidgeting never stopping.
If you didn't touch her, why are you ending this?
I wasn't sure. All I knew was I couldn't be with Isabella any longer. Not when my cock was this hard and my mind was this obsessive. Now I only wanted one woman to be underneath me. The creature with the intense green eyes. And it wasn't Isabella. I wanted her to fight me until her back hit the sheets. Then I wanted her legs to wrap around my waist as she begged for more. While love wasn't in the mix, I respected Isabella too much to lie to her. We had a relationship based on trust, and that was something I would never sacrifice. Because I can't stop thinking about her. Chapter 3. I entered the office on 155th Street. The lobby was pristine with its granite countertop in the rear, along with the receptionist that guided visitors to the correct floor. A fountain was in the center, emitting the calming sound of running water at every hour of the day, even when the doors were locked. I buttoned the front of my suit, greeted the girls behind the counter, and then took the elevator to my office. The doors opened, and I walked to my office tucked in the corner. My assistant handed over my itinerary, along with my messages, before she handed me my morning coffee, black and bitter. Once I was in my leather chair with my black laptop in front of me, I searched through the messages, hoping to see something from someone in particular, but there wasn't. I opened my computer and worked through the countless emails that required my attention. Sometimes I wondered if I was the director of Humanitarians United, or if I was just a puppet moving through paperwork. An hour later, Shaylin beeped into my office through the intercom.
Charles is here to see you, sir.
About fucking time. Please send him in, Shaylin. I shut my laptop and watched the doors open as Charles walked inside. He wore the same brown leather jacket I saw him wear every single day. It was thick and old, holes and stains marked all over the place. He wore dark jeans and heavy boots to fight off the New York chill.
Nice to see you, Charles. Do you have something for me?
He tossed the folder on the table, his bushy eyebrows giving him an appearance of constant annoyance. I opened the folder and realized it was empty. I quickly shut it, then held it up.
It's obvious you did this on purpose, but it's not obvious why.
I tossed it in the recycling bin beside my desk.
I couldn't get much on your girl.
He loomed over the front of my desk, never taking a seat, even when I offered him one. At Ruin, he did a lot of digging into people to make sure they were trustworthy. Not just anyone could enter Ruin and be one of us.
What little were you able to dig up?
She went to Harvard for her bachelor's in social work before she got her master's in sociology. She has a small apartment on the west side, and she runs a small non-profit called For All.
I recognized that organization. They'd done a lot of work around New York for the homeless and juvenile runaways. They were small, but very respectable.
What else?
That's it.
Does she have a boyfriend?
More than anything else, that was the answer I needed. If she was taken, I would be respectful and back off. Nothing irritated me more than when someone chased a person who was unavailable. But even if she was seeing someone, my obsession would still linger, unfortunately.
I don't know.
I raised an eyebrow. How do you not know? What am I paying you for?
This woman covers her tracks. Other than her credentials, that was all I could find about her past. I don't have a clue where she was born, when she was born, and who her relatives are. Her record is wiped clean. This woman literally has no digital footprint.
Now I was even more intrigued. How was that possible?
She must have changed her name.
She was married?
People get married all the time, but their past isn't erased.
Nah, that's not what I mean. She must have acquired a new identity.
I'd seen a lot in my lifetime, but I'd never heard of that.
She has secrets. Secrets she's trying to hide.
What a coincidence. I have secrets, too. Anything else?
She's in serious debt. About 300 grand deep.
How?
Student loans and the non-profit she owns. She must dump a lot of her own money into it.
Just on paper, this woman fascinated me. Judging by her natural strength as she walked across a room, I would assume she wasn't afraid of anything, that she didn't have skeletons in her closet. The fact that she had a double life, a whole other existence, made me wonder what she was hiding from.
She's attending the governor's charity ball this Saturday.
That party was such a bore. But I had to attend because I was usually given the philanthropist award. But they really should give someone else the spotlight. My company did a lot of amazing things, but it wasn't the only one. It was a great opportunity to get donations from other affluent people in the city. Free advertising.
She is.
Yep. And you aren't the recipient of the philanthropist award this year.
My eyebrow rose in interest.
Yeah?
Rome already is.
It was nearly midnight when I walked into Ruin and entered the back office. I had paperwork to deal with, payroll, and a bunch of other bullshit that made me hate being a business owner. When I took over the company, it was with excitement, but lately I'd only been excited about one thing. The door opened and shut behind me.
Asshole! I've been trying to get a hold of you all day!
I didn't turn around as I leaned over my desk and searched for the mail.
Congratulations, you finally succeeded.
Jackson walked around the desk, then plopped down into the leather chair. My leather chair. He looked up at me, his blue eyes identical to mine. They were piercing and cold, just like the icicles that hung from my roof in January.
I heard you broke it off with Isabella.
I'm sure the whole fucking club knew by now. I opened the first letter.
aware of his gaze still burning into my face like hot lava.
Did you hear me?
Yes. I skimmed through the bill and left it off to the side. Then I grabbed the next envelope in line.
And?
And what? Is this gossip hour?
Just tell me what the hell happened.
I don't owe you an explanation, shithead. He snatched the letter from my hand and slammed it on the desk.
What the hell happened? You were her dom for nearly a year.
I'm aware. I was there, after all. I leaned back into the chair and stared him down. All things come to an end, right? It's not worth talking about. I've had many subs in my lifetime, and she'll have many doms. His gaze narrowed on my face, his irritation seeping from his pores.
She said there was someone else?
Why couldn't she keep her mouth shut? I didn't deny it because lying wasn't my strong suit. If a man couldn't be honest, then he wasn't a man at all. Yes, but I'm not seeing anyone. Jackson gave me the most quizzical expression I'd ever seen.
What? You aren't seeing her?
I met her a few nights ago in a bar. Haven't stopped thinking about her.
Is she a sub?
Unlikely. She had way too much fire in her eyes and too much strength in those sexy hips. There's no way she could follow a command without giving some attitude.
Maybe that was why I found her so attractive,
even though that was the exact opposite of what I wanted.
Then what's the deal? You asked for her number, or what?
No. She slapped me 3 times like a goddamn pro. I only got her name. I broke it off with Isabella immediately afterward. It didn't feel right anymore. Isabella trusts me, and I still want to be worthy of that trust. He rubbed the back of his neck, his eyes shifting back and forth between mine.
What does that mean? Are you going to make her your new sub?
If I'm lucky. I'll see where it goes. She wouldn't be easy to break, I could tell. But I was always up for the challenge.
Dude, Isabella is the hottest chick in this place. You're going to give her up?
When I first laid eyes on her, I wanted her. We started fucking and the sex was explosive. Not long after that, we became an exclusive dom sub, which shocked everyone who knew me. Isabella did everything I asked, and she did it well. I was content with her, even happy. But when I set eyes on Rome, it was as if the past year never happened. I saw the world in technicolor, and she was neon green. I had to have her, at any cost. Yes, she's perfect. It's time for us to both move on. Jackson pressed the back of his hand to my forehead.
You must be dying of syphilis or something.
I smacked his hand away. Shut the fuck up, asshole. So, you don't care if I go for her? If he asked me that a week ago, I would have turned over my desk with a roar and knocked him out cold. But I didn't feel anything. Not a hint of jealousy or an ounce of rage. I didn't feel possessive toward her. Strangely, I didn't feel any type of attention or affection toward her. It was like she never meant anything to me. At all. No.
Seriously?
Both of his eyebrows rose to the sky. I hated it when he spoke like a goddamn teenager. Seriously.
Because I'll do it. I'll wipe away all trace of you.
Go ahead. His eyebrows deflated and he finally believed me.
Damn. Who is this woman?
Charles wasn't able to dig up much on her, just more mystery, so I didn't have a clue. Not sure yet, but I'll find out.
Chapter 4. Rome. Christian and I entered the lobby of the hotel. He wore a black suit with a matching tie, looking like he belonged with the crowd. He actually did his hair, wore a nice watch, and acknowledged the people around us with a smile. When I introduced him, he was polite, which was rare. We entered the ballroom where the charity event was being held. The chandelier hung from the ceiling, sparkling under the dim lighting of the room. Round tables were spaced across the floor. ivory tablecloths with candles and centerpieces on the surface. Christian whistled under his breath. Fancy, huh? It looks really nice. His head turned toward the bar in the corner.
Now that looks really nice. Full bar, right?
I tried not to roll my eyes. Behave yourself, all right?
If you wanted someone who would behave themselves, you shouldn't have asked me to come with you.
If you don't want to be here, just go. I stepped off to the side and looked him in the eye, seeing the brown color that reflected the lights from the chandelier.
And make you go stag? He asked with a laugh. I may be an ass, but I would never do that to you.
I don't mind going alone. Almost everything I did alone. Not having a man on my arm didn't give me anxiety. I didn't care that I was single and living in a small apartment in solitude. When people asked if I planned on settling down soon, like that's where I should be in life, I usually smiled, then excused myself from the ridiculous, mundane conversation and found something better to do.
Then why did you invite me?
He put his hands in his pockets as he eyed me, his chin covered in stubble and his eyes almost threatening. Because? I was about to answer him when I thought better of it. I struggled with emotional intimacy and I avoided it at all costs. I guess I just like spending time with you. Christian knew me too well not to notice the apprehension in my eyes. Like a book, he could read every word and every sentence.
That's not the reason, and we both know it. So just be a man and tell me.
Well, I'm not a man.
You look like one.
I narrowed my eyes on his face. You want me to answer you or not? He breathed a sigh before he relaxed his shoulders.
Yes, please.
I'm getting an award tonight. I didn't wear my heart on my sleeve, so I never confessed my deepest desires. But tonight, it was important for him to be there with me. I wanted him to share this moment with me because, frankly, I wouldn't be here without him. His eyes immediately softened, one of the rare times I'd seen it happen.
I had no idea. What's it for?
Philanthropist Award. It's for the work I did at the homeless shelter this year. He stared at me with a blank expression, but his eyes held the affection that he tried to hide. He cleared his throat, then gave me an awkward pat on the back.
That's awesome. I'm so proud of you.
I smiled when I heard the sincerity in his voice. Thanks.
Now I'm glad you invited me. Wouldn't miss it for anything.
That's the reaction I'd been hoping for.
All right, I'll be nice to you for the whole evening.
Wow! I didn't hide my sarcasm. Do you think you can go that long?
I don't know, he answered. I've never tried.
A waiter passed with a tray of champagne, and Christian grabbed two glasses before he handed one to me.
Let's make a toast.
Yeah? The corner of my lip rose in a smile.
Yeah.
He clanked his glass against mine.
To the most hard-working and compassionate woman I know.
He brought the glass to his lips and downed it. I smiled before I drank, finishing with a few swallows. We set our glasses on an empty tray that passed.
Now what? He said. We hit up the bar, or we take our seats for dinner. There's gonna be steak, right?
Of course that's all he cared about. Food and booze. Let's find our seats before we crash the bar and you clean them out.
Sounds like a good idea.
I looked across the sea of tables for my number. They assigned our seating beforehand, and after we found the correct table number, our names were placed on a card on the china plate. As I glanced around for my seat, I felt a pair of heated eyes burn right through my skin into my heart. It burned me from the inside out, making the hair on the back of my neck stand up straight. Like prey on the plains, I felt my predator watch me before he struck. My eyes finally found the culprit. Standing on the other side of the room in a fitted black suit was the man I had slapped so many times his cheek had turned red. His intense eyes were exactly the same as they were on that night, scorching and ice blue. He stared me down like he knew exactly who I was, hadn't forgotten the way my palm felt against his face. Humiliation washed over me like the tide and blanketed me with sheer terror. I'd never felt so embarrassed in my life, and I never got out of hand like that. The one time I did, I pretty much assaulted an innocent man. Now I was getting an award for helping people, something he probably thought I didn't deserve. Motherfucker. Christian turned his gaze on me, his eyes the size of melons.
Whoa, where did that come from?
I quickly turned away from the man I had assaulted just a few days before. Shit, is he looking at me?
Who?
The guy in the black suit. He's near the stage. Christian's eyes scanned the opposite side of the room.
I think I see a pretty handsome dude checking you out.
I rolled my eyes. Believe me, he's not checking me out.
Ro, I'm a guy. I know what we look like when we're picturing a woman naked.
So is he looking at me? I asked in horror.
What's the big deal? I'm totally straight, but this guy makes Clint Eastwood look like a troll.
I quickly told him the story of what happened at the bar a few nights ago, keeping my back to my predator and trying to make it look natural.
You slapped him? 3 times?
His voice raised with his incredulity. I thought he was Taylor's ex, okay?
And it took 3 slaps to figure out it wasn't him?
I was in the moment. I was pissed and in the zone. I wasn't paying attention. Christian kept eyeing him across the room.
Well, he hasn't blinked since he first looked at you, but I still think he's checking you out.
No, he's picturing how he's going to murder me. I tucked my hair behind my ear, showing weakness for the first time. Christian glanced at the ground and lowered his voice.
Incoming.
Shit! I straightened my shoulders and held myself high, knowing I couldn't back down from a confrontation. I was the one who assaulted the guy, so I should pay the price. The awkwardness fell on me like a weight, and I deserved the pressure. I turned toward him and finally looked at him just as he reached me. First, he sized up Christian, giving him a quick glance like he was beneath him. His superiority rang through the air, and if he could push him to the side, he would have. His hostility emerged from nowhere. I wasn't even sure where it came from. Then he looked at me, his blue eyes bright and crystal clear. Like a remote cove in Fiji, it was virgin and untouched. His soul was a blank canvas underneath, full of so many layers and colors it was undecipherable. Like no one else was in the room, he stared at me. Like a predator seeking out prey, he cornered me and didn't back down. He didn't seem to care that a grown man was standing right beside me, built and toned. His shoulders looked just as broad as they did the other night. When I first spotted him, I assumed he must be the man Taylor was talking about. Drop-dead gorgeous with subtle stubble around his face, he was so beautiful it was painful. Taylor gushed about her new boyfriend, and he was definitely someone worth gushing over. The fact that I slapped him 3 times and he didn't even raise his voice attested to his chivalry. Any other man might have slapped me good and hard, but he found the restraint to do nothing. I lost my footing as I looked at him, too focused on his corded neck and stern jaw. An image came into my mind with his face between my legs, his stubble brushing against the inside of my thighs before his mouth closed over my throbbing clitoris. I dug my fingers into his hair and screamed because he made me orgasm so hard.
Whoa, where the hell did that come from?
I knew I should say something, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. Instead, I felt my cheeks flush pink and warm.
My mouth suddenly became moist from the kisses we hadn't shared, and my calves yearned to be wrapped around his waist. He took the reins.
Small world, huh?
Like before, his words came out innately sexy and husky. I wondered if he sounded like that on purpose, or if he was just unnaturally blessed with extreme sex appeal. I took a breath and straightened myself out. I refused to let my words tumble out as incoherent rambling. Too small, actually. I extended my hand to shake his. It's nice to see you again. I'm glad it's on better terms. He eyed my hand for so long I didn't think he would take it. Then he wrapped his fingers around mine and gave me an aggressive squeeze, his thumb brushing along my skin seductively. His fingers migrated to my wrist and gave me another subtle squeeze before he pulled away.
That's debatable.
I wanted to question the odd response, but didn't. This guy didn't deserve any presumptions from me, not after the first one I made. I'm so sorry about the other night.
Don't apologize.
His voice was exactly the same as before, but it somehow sounded like a command. He turned to Christian, then nodded in my direction.
Your girlfriend has quite the hand on her.
Girlfriend? Christian blurted. Yuck! He shook his head vigorously, then held his palm over my face.
God, no!
I narrowed my eyes at the insult before I turned back to the man I aggressively knocked around. His eyes were on me once again, but now the look was different. He stared at me so hard I thought I may melt under the heat of his gaze. Now the mood completely shifted, coming off calm and then intense just a second later.
She's single and ready to mingle.
Christian gave me a rough pat on the back.
Ro, this guy is handsome and pretty damn polite to put up with your bullshit. Go for it. I'm gonna hit the bar.
He gave me another pat before he nodded to my visitor.
Nice meeting you.
He didn't watch Christian walk away. His eyes were on me the entire time. It didn't seem like they would move anytime soon, or ever again. I was mortified by what Christian said, but I didn't show it. Ignore him. He's just quirky.
Who is he?
My brother. He slid his hands into his pockets and stepped closer to me, closer than any stranger should be. But somehow, he filled the space like he owned it. His powerful jaw was sterner up close, and I wondered how his facial hair would feel against my palm as it slid across his cheek. His eyes were blue, but they sparkled with icy fire.
I don't see any similarities.
Because there aren't any. We kind of adopted each other. I didn't want to get into my past life. That would take all night, and I doubted a stranger would want to hear about it. I'm surprised I even told him that much. Normally I would make some kind of joke when someone made a similar comment. He must have understood further prying wasn't appreciated because he dropped the subject. We both know you know my name, so what's yours? His eyes quickly glanced at my lips like he wanted to watch them move as I spoke. A gentle ripple moved through my spine and up my neck. All the tiny hairs on my body stood on end and my nipples hardened to the edge of daggers. With a simple look, he made my body hum with life, desperate for physical affection. I couldn't remember the last date I had, and I couldn't remember the last man I was this attracted to. But of course, I fucked that up when I slapped him. Good job, Rome. He kept his soft lips firmly pressed together like he didn't want to answer.
Callaway Owens.
My jaw nearly dropped to the floor. I recognized that name because it was prestigious in the charity world. The founder and director of the biggest nonprofit in Manhattan was standing right in front of me, and I slapped him. Of course you are. Now I was even more embarrassed than before. Why couldn't he just be a nobody? I was going to receive my first award from the Academy, and I was taking it from the man I assaulted. I never met him in person and didn't know what he looked like.
All I ever heard were rumors about how fine he was, but that name was unmistakable. The corner of his mouth rose in a small smile. His eyes lit up the same way, amused. He came closer to me, the distance between us so short he could kiss me, if he actually wanted to.
"Your secret is safe with me."
When he lowered his voice, his sexy tone washed across my skin like a perfect bubble bath. It relaxed me, but excited me at the same time. Was he trying to be sexy, or was he just that good at it? "You're a lot nicer to me than I was to you." If some guy slapped me in a bar, I'd kick his ass in front of everyone. I definitely wouldn't have held back and remained patient. This guy had the steadiness of a god.
"Trust me, I'm not a nice guy."
I didn't have a clue what that meant, but it scorched my body all the same. His warm breath fell across my face, and I could smell his cologne, subtle and masculine. Or maybe that was just him. I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
"But I'll be nice to you. For now."
After I received my award, I took the seat beside my brother. The metal sculpture was in my hand, my name carved at the bottom. It was in the shape of a tree, the giving source of all life. I set it next to my wine glass and admired it. Christian eyed it for a moment before he looked at me.
"You did good, Ro."
"Thanks." It meant the world to me that he was there, even if I didn't show it. He was the only family I had in the world, even though we weren't related. No one understood what I went through better than him, because he was there too.
"You know,"
he took the award and put it beside his plate,
"I think this would look pretty good on my desk."
"With someone else's name on it?" I asked incredulously.
"I could scratch that right off."
He smiled before he handed it back.
"Where's this bad boy gonna go?"
"I think in my office at For All."
"There's no other office since you live in a rat hole."
I was used to him making jabs about my tiny apartment, but it still annoyed me. It wasn't much, and I had a few cockroaches for roommates, but it was better than what most people had, so I was grateful.
"Your face is a rat hole." "Good one."
His voice was full of sarcasm. We finished dinner, and the people at our table began to drift to the bar and the dessert table. There was a silent auction near the back, and people cast their bids on trips to Paris and time on yachts. I wanted to look at Calloway, but I refrained from doing so. I knew he was just two tables over.
"So?"
Christian glanced in the direction Calloway was sitting before he looked at me again.
"That guy is hot."
When I looked at Christian, I narrowed my eyes. "Is there something you need to tell me? Because that's the third time you've said that."
"Hell no. Believe me, I'm all about the tits and the pussy."
I cringed because I wanted to throw up.
"But even I know that guy is good looking. So are you going to ask him out?"
We didn't talk about my love life often, but sometimes Christian asked about it out of concern. I hadn't had a relationship in years because I didn't have the time or the energy. Most men were full of bullshit, and I had more important things to do. "Did you already forget I slapped him?"
"He's clearly over it. Just go for it."
"He's the biggest name in the room. That guy has done more for the city than anyone else." He kept a blank look on his face.
"And your point?"
"He's too good for me. I already screwed up my first impression." Now he just looked annoyed.
"Ro, come on. This isn't the woman I know. You go for what you want and you take it. If you want this guy, make it happen. If he says no, no harm done. You've never taken a hit to your confidence. If anything, asking him out is sexy. He'll respect your ability to make a move after you humiliated yourself. I know I would."
"But we work together. If it doesn't work out, it'll just be awkward."
tonight is the first time you've ever met him, so I doubt you'll run into him often.
I didn't argue because he was right.
Get your ass up and march over there.
Why do you care so much?
Because you need a man in your life.
My eyes narrowed and burned with hostility.
Excuse me?